A reading from the book of Sirach. My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not, and to things beyond your strength, seek not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire, and gloomy darkness, and storm, and a trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. No, you have approached Mount Zion, and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him. And the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
Verbum Domini.
The readings for Mass today focus on the topic of humility. And essentially, we are presented with two ultimate possibilities in life. We either choose to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and receive honors and glory from Him alone, or we seek to exalt ourselves with worldly honors and eventually experience humiliation. The virtue of humility is dear to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, who famously says in Matthew's Gospel, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Humility is a defining characteristic of the Lord God himself, which is an incredible thought in itself. For all intents and purposes, God has every reason to boast and to be prideful. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He holds all power and authority over creation and sees everything throughout space and time. And yet our God is humble. He does not rule over all creation as a tyrant, but places himself at the service of creation. He sent his Son into the world not to rule over it as a dictator, but to serve the world as its Savior and Redeemer. Jesus not only teaches his disciples the value of humility, but also demonstrates it through his own words, actions, and example. In the gospel reading today from Luke, Jesus goes to dine at the home of a leading Pharisee, a religious leader who would have enjoyed an exalted social status at the time. And our Lord notices how the guests seek to exalt themselves by immediately taking the places of honor at table. They seek glory for themselves, perhaps in the hopes of obtaining special honors and favors from their distinguished host. This prompts Jesus to tell them a parable about a wedding banquet in which he encourages the guests to choose a lower place, instead of the place of honor. If they immediately choose the place of honor, then they might find themselves experiencing the humiliation of losing that seat to someone else. By choosing to exalt themselves, they will ultimately be humiliated by someone else. But if they choose the lowest place instead, then they will enjoy the esteem of being exalted by someone else. Jesus then summarizes the entire lesson of the parable by saying, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And while the world often values things like power, wealth, prestige, and unbridled pleasure, the values of heaven, that is, of the Lord God, as well as of the angels and the saints, are quite different. In heaven, traits such as humility, meekness, obedience, compassion, and the virtue of poverty are honored and treasured. And when I say poverty, I do not mean unjust poverty, wherein a person is deprived of their material necessities. Rather, I mean a reliance in faith upon the Lord to provide for one's needs, which involves the solidarity and the cooperation of human beings. The virtue of poverty is not a poverty of deprivation, but of material and spiritual detachment. As is the case with all of the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, he never expects his disciples to do something that he himself does not already practice. Pope St. Gregory the Great has spoken beautifully about the humility of our Lord and how we as Christians are called to imitate him. He says, "Let the humble know that our Redeemer humbled himself, obediently accepting even death, death on a cross. Let the proud know that this is written of their leader. He is king over all proud beasts. The origin of our ruin was therefore the pride of the devil, while the source of our redemption was the humility of God. For our enemy, created as all other creatures, wanted to excel everyone. Instead, our Redeemer, the greatest among all beings, condescended to become the least among all. Let the humble be told that while lowering themselves, they rise in imitation of God. Let the proud, on the contrary, be told that in extolling themselves, they crash to the ground in imitation of the apostate angel. What can be worse than pride if while rising, it departs from the heights of true sublimity? What can be more glorious than humility, which while sinking low, will join one with his creator?" If our Lord has counted himself among the lowest of creatures, even lower, and has even abased himself so profoundly as to suffer and die as a criminal, although he is innocent of any crime, how much more should Christians seek to imitate his example instead of seeking after worldly honors and glory for themselves? And the little poor man, St. Francis of Assisi, is most famous for his love of holy poverty and imitation of Jesus Christ, the one who has nowhere to lay his head. And yet the writings of St. Francis are also imbued with a love for the virtue of humility, which can be considered the twin of poverty. And there are many examples from his writings, especially from his admonitions, which were intended for his fellow friars living in community. And the fourth admonition of St. Francis is entitled, Let no one appropriate to himself the role of being over others. In this admonition, St. Francis says, "I did not come to be served, but to serve, says the Lord. Those who are placed over others should glory in such an office only as much as they would were they assigned the task of washing the feet of the brothers. And the more they are upset at about their office being taken from them than they would be over the loss of the office of washing feet, so much the more do they store up treasures to the peril of their souls." Another example is the 13th admonition entitled Patience, in which St. Francis says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." The servant of God cannot know how much patience and humility he has within himself as long as everything goes well with him. But when the time comes in which those who should do him justice do quite the opposite to him, he has only as much patience and humility as he has on that occasion, and no more. And one more example is the 17th admonition, entitled "The Humble Servant of God." And in this admonition, St. Francis says, "Blessed is that servant who does not pride himself on the good that the Lord says or does through him any more than on what he says or does through another. That person sins who wishes to receive more from his neighbor than what he is willing to give of himself to the Lord God." And throughout the scriptures as well, we are warned countless times to avoid the sin of pride and to cultivate humility and poverty of spirit. St. Peter says in his first epistle, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Jesus himself gives another parable later in the Gospel of Luke involving a Pharisee and a tax collector who go into the temple to pray. The Pharisee exalts himself for his good deeds and for his tithing, and he pretentiously thanks the Lord that he is not like the tax collector who is in the temple. But the tax collector, on the other hand, does not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beats his breast and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And in the end, it is the humble tax collector who is justified, and not the Pharisee. As Jesus says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." In the Old Testament, even Psalm 10 describes the pride of the wicked and how the prideful ignore the laws and precepts of God while they act as if God does not exist. And yet they will not escape the just judgment of God, who brings the plans of the wicked to nothing while exalting the humble and the poor. And so as Christians and as disciples of Christ, we are called not to exalt ourselves or to seek after worldly honors and glory that wither and fade away. Rather, we are called to seek the everlasting glory that only Christ can bestow. We are called not to ingratiate ourselves with the rich and the powerful in the hopes of receiving material rewards or worldly prestige, but to care for those who are the dearest to the heart of Christ, that is, the least of our brothers and sisters and the poor. It is better to actively seek to humble ourselves now so that we might not suffer the humiliation that will ultimately come from the Lord. If we willingly humble ourselves now, then according to the Lord's promise, we will be exalted at the resurrection of the righteous.